Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Preview show.
Hello and welcome to the 1874 match preview show as it's Aston Villa against Brighton. Well, Aston Villa travel to Brighton on Sunday. We're of course going to talk about last night as well. Villa's European adventure took a little bit of a downturn, losing at home 4-2 to Olympiacos. This show is sponsored by Luke Roper, and if you want to get 20% off everything that Luke Roper have to offer, then use the code TVV20 and you'll get 20% off. I'm your host, Dan Bardell, joined by Sky Sports News' finest, multi-talented David Reid. Looks like he's had a bit of a haircut as well. I've just had mine done as well, Dave, but no time to do it. So I have to put a cap on. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Yeah, haircut in tow. It's a little bit drained from last night, to be honest.
I liked the longer look. I'll do anything to talk about the game last night. So I liked the longer look.
I am thinking of just letting it grow this time. So I've had conversations about
in talks.
In talks,
have longer hair.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. Who are you in talks with?
Just yourself. My
barber. Oh, no, and the barber yourself, your wife. I wasn't sure of the transfer committee of
how
you deal with your hair.
I am the one that will make the final decision.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good to know. It is your hair, so that does make sense, Dave. Right, let's do it then. Let's talk about last night. And to be fair, for the neutral, probably a very, very entertaining game. At Villa Park, good atmosphere, high hopes going into it. I don't think many people would have predicted 4-2 to Olympiacos, but I did say before the game, I think you agreed as well and said similar, that, you know, Olympiacos are no mugs. You're coming up against a team that's been in Europe most years in the last decade. They've been in the Champions League. They know their ways around two-legged ties. And I've got to be fair, they came, and I thought, especially in the first half, they were brilliant, really did a job on Villa, did their homework, came out with a tactical framework and a tactical plan and shut Villa down. Villa trying to play out from the back, which, you know, is always going to be more difficult without Emi Martinez anyway, but passing lanes were cut off. There was no way through. We kept getting forced back and then suddenly they'd press us and we were under pressure in our own penalty area and clinical as well. The lad up front, geez, he's not one of the best forwards in the world. And he earned his goals because he worked so hard throughout the entirety of that game. So in all honesty, Olympiacos deserved to win, did their homework. And it's going to be very tough now, Dave.
It is, yeah. This semi-final is hanging by a thread now. And it really is a mountain to climb next week in Greece. They were so sharp, Olympiacos, in that first half in particular. The intensity that they brought. I don't know whether that intensity and that sharpness was a surprise to Villa, but certainly they didn't really get going in that first half whatsoever. Lots of avoidable goals, lots of mistakes that the players don't usually make. It felt like a very unusual performance. And it now means that with a two goal deficit, it's going to be extremely difficult at their place. The obvious thing is that Douglas Luiz had the penalty at the end, which, you know, anyone can miss a penalty, so that's no issue for me. But if it was just the one goal deficit, I think there's a real opportunity there. But being two goals behind, it means it's going to be extremely difficult.
Yeah, we saw in the quarterfinals against Lille, you know, travelling to a European away game, and we had something to protect that night as well. You know, the atmosphere is intimidating. It's intense. Our players aren't really experienced in having to deal with these atmospheres, whereas the Lille players were, and it'll be similar for Olympiacos. I do think it's not over. You know, if we've learned anything in the last 18 months, it's that Unai Emery and these players have done a sensational job, and we're a brilliant, brilliant football team on our day. There's nothing to stop us going there and winning by two, three goals. But the problem we've got at the moment is you just can't see where a clean sheet's coming from. And if you don't keep a clean sheet away at Olympiacos now, you know, you're going to need to score 3-4 goals to stay in the tie. And, you know, as good as we are in front of goal, and as much as I think you can get at them for a one-off 90 minutes in the semi-final in a you know, big atmosphere, which it will be.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We've made life very difficult.
Yeah. I mean, it's not over. And every time this team feels like, you know, when the chips are down, they always seem to come up with something. So I would not be writing Aston Villa off in this tie whatsoever. I think there is always a chance, but you're right. Defensively, there is an issue there. So can Villa go away and score three goals? Yes, but it's going to be extremely difficult, I would say, to do that. And it just depends what kind of game plan that Olympiacos have, to be honest. You know, I know the onus is going to be on Villa in the second leg to go out and attack and take the game to them. I wonder whether it will be all out attack from the off. I can't imagine it would be, because then you are in danger of letting the tie go in transitions. I think it will be, let's kind of feel the game out in the second leg, see how they set up. And then if you can get one goal, then the pressure really starts to tell on the opposition. I think from Olympiacos' point of view yesterday, their game plan was all about high turnovers. I thought they were excellent when Villa were trying to play out from the back. You know, Pedence, I thought his position was really interesting when Villa were trying to break out. You know, he was almost doing a half and half job, waiting for Konsa and also keeping an eye on Matty Cash in the right back position. And actually, when they had the ball in their own half, deep build-up, it was fairly rudimentary. They were quite long in there and direct in their balls. It was kind of hit it forward and see whether the striker can fight with our two centre-backs to try and win it and then pick up the second balls. But I thought there were some really outstanding performances from Olympiacos last week. You know, the right-back was brilliant. I thought Chiquinho alongside the striker was excellent. The two pivots were great as well, who were following in. And you know, a high press like that only really works when everyone's on board with it. And they were all very in sync. You know, as soon as the ball went out to a centre-back, one of the two forward players would press, and then the two pivots would come in behind, and it was all about trying to block the middle of the pitch and stop Villa playing into the two defensive midfielders. I think the tone was set really in the first minute of the game, and I did a kind of sharp intake of breath in the first minute of the game when the ball came out to the left-hand side, 1 minute on the clock, and Podence lifted in a cross. Olsen came out and grabbed it. And as soon as he had the ball in his hands, the ball was out of his hands, and he rolled it to Morgan Rogers, who was on the edge of his own penalty area with his two palms facing the ground in a kind of calming motion, as in, why are you giving me the ball kind of thing? And it was that kind of set the tone. Villa were playing in this frantic way that wasn't, I can't imagine, was the game plan before the game, especially when you heard Unai Emery's pre-match interview where he said, we need to play smart, we need to play clever, manage the game, play with heart. And none of that was on show really in the first minute. And I can't really remember a time when the game plan would be in the goalkeeper's arms and throw it out to one of the number 10s in his own, deep in his own half. I can't imagine. I really remember Villa ever doing that. So I can't imagine that instruction. And it all felt very frantic. And then, you know, Douglas Luiz had a poor game. I'm sure he will admit, but even he couldn't quite grab hold of the game. I thought when Villa, in that first half in particular, when Villa did get the ball to Diaby, to Rogers, I thought both of them looked pretty dangerous in those half spaces. I thought they were, you know, if we could get the ball to them a little bit better, it would be great. But fair play to Olympiacos, they blocked the balls into McGinn and Luiz.
Yeah, very well.
And both of them when both of them got the ball, neither of them really were able to turn and play the ball into the tens, because there was always one, sometimes two men following in behind and making it difficult for them. So, you know, I think it's one of those games where Olympiacos were great, outstanding, very sharp, very intense, knew their game plan. And also Villa weren't quite at the required level to pull them apart and move the ball through the lines. And I think they went away from Unai Emery's ideal, really, particularly in that first half, where they got sucked in to the transitional game. And there was one point where Matty Cash just played a 30, 40-yard ball over the top that just went straight through to their goalkeeper. And that's just not what Villa do. They wait and wait and suck the opposition in and play around them. And that's how they get out. And I think, you know, Unai Emery said after the game last night, there wasn't a lot of positives. And I think the only positive is that the tie isn't totally dead. No, it's the door isn't exactly wide open. It's maybe slightly ajar, but it's up to this team now next week to punch through that door.
Yeah, look, you have to give the opposition credit, in my opinion. I thought they were brilliant, Olympiacos. I really did. My question of Villa would probably be that maybe we've shown a bit of naivety in managing ties. I even thought that we showed glimpses of that in the Lille game, and the fact that we went 2-0 up and then we let ourselves be sucked into conceding a set-piece goal, which completely changed the landscape of the game. And then in the second game, I don't think we managed, you know, the first half particularly well there either. I would say last night, you know, once you've got back to 2-2, just settle a little bit, do the things that, you know, you're good at. There was a frantic period where we just kept attacking, and we got those two goals. And maybe because our towers were up, we thought we could go and get a third. But look at Olympiacos, you know, just been pegged back to 2-2. You'd think they'd be on the floor, devastated, but they didn't. They just reset, went again. And they've ended up winning 4-2. You know, to concede the fourth as well is disappointing. I know it's an unfortunate goal with the deflections. I think he should save it. In all honesty, he's got massive arm on it. I think he should save it. But anyway, I'm not blaming Olsen for last night. I've seen a few people blaming the ref as well. I wouldn't really go along with that at all. I don't think it was the referee's fault. I think it's the Olympiacos were better than us. I think we're just shown a bit of inexperience and a bit of naivety in Europe, which is, you know, probably on the players rather than the manager, because we know that the manager is very experienced in these situations.
Yeah, I mean, on the referee, I mean, we've had some shocking referees in this competition. Like in the Conference League, it's pretty much Vauxhall Conference refereeing sometimes. And the Bailey one, I know lots of people disagree. Some people might disagree, but it was a 100% a penalty. And I don't understand how you know, when you see that again on the VAR. I don't know how they're stepping in to do it. I don't know how they're stepping in to do it. So there were some questionable decisions. I thought he didn't quite really let the game flow as it perhaps could have done. So yeah, that's the referee. I thought there were some poor decisions. I don't think it was a totally 0 out of 10 performance from the referee, but I thought there were some major ones that he got wrong. And yeah, you have to give credit to Olympiacos. I thought they were great. And I think particularly around the penalty as well for Douglas Luiz, I thought, you know, maybe rather than getting sucked into messing around with their players on the edge of the box and continuing the delay, I think we just could have stepped away from that situation and just let them get on with it. There was a big delay to the penalty, and you know, really, the technique would be that, you know, you just let the game carry on and you let Douglas Luiz take it as quickly as possible. And you know, they wanted to delay that spot kick for as long as they possibly could. And I thought we could have done more to let the game continue at that point. But it's a minor point, really, in the grand scheme of things.
I also think it's something we can't really complain about when we've got Emi Martinez in goal. You know, the goalkeeper wasting time and talking to the ref, and you know, which he did do or not, we don't really have a leg to stand on with that, because you know, we've seen our goalkeeper do it. Since a few people in the chat, they are blaming the ref. I think it's too easy to blame the referee. I think you've got to look at yourselves. And last night, Villa stepped away from what they're good at, and they've ended up losing the game. I do genuinely think it's not over, though. And as much as I've said it's going to be hard, there is a part of me in a weird way that thinks it may suit us in the second leg, that, you know, we have to go for it and we're behind and we're chasing rather than going there and protecting something, if that makes sense there.
Yeah, but I'd rather go there with a 3-0 lead.
Yeah, of course. Well, we went to Lille with a lead and we didn't do a very good job of holding on to that. I think that played on our minds a little bit. This one now, we know we've got to go there and win the game by two clear goals. I feel like because we're better attacking than we are defending at the moment, in a weird way, it makes my brain think that works for us.
I get what you mean. I think it all depends on how they set up. I mean, why would they change their way of playing when they're at home in front of their own fans than what they did at Villa Park? So I would almost expect them to set up exactly the same and really go for the jugular, and their manager will be saying to them, you know, get one and this tie is effectively as good as over, because Villa have got to get another 3 goals. And as you say, and pointed out earlier, Villa don't look like they're going to keep a clean sheet too often. So Olympiacos will be saying, let's get one, let's put this tie to bed. So it's going to be such a difficult atmosphere for those players over in Greece. But as you say, it's not over. And if there's a team that can do it, this team have proven time and time again that they're able to upset the odds and create something out of nothing and get back into a game when you thought it was all over. So why can't they do it again?
Between being positive and negative about it whilst you were talking, then I was just thinking, I haven't been particularly good in the away games. I don't think we've only won one game away from home in since we qualified, because obviously we beat Hibs, but we only beat Alkmaar. I don't remember us winning another away game in the Conference League this season. So, you know, away from home, I think we have just shown a bit of inexperience, which is natural because a lot of those players haven't played in Europe, and as a group they haven't played together in Europe before, and everyone expects you to play their sides in the Conference League and you roll them over, but it's just the reality is that isn't what happens, and we came up against a really good team last night and we came a cropper and we lost. How do you think that affects us going into this game on Sunday? Now, obviously, there was another game last night, you know, a weird night for Villa, really, because whilst they're losing in Europe, there's an absolutely brilliant result for us in the Premier League. But how do you think mentally Thursday night affects us? We talk often about, you know, the fact that the squad's not deep at the moment, we've got injuries, you know, what would it do to the legs? But generally, we've been better when we've played on a Thursday and we've had to appear in the Premier League on a Sunday. But mentally losing that first game, what do you think that does for us on Sunday?
Well, I think you're right. We have done pretty well with the Thursday to Sunday. I think we're unbeaten, aren't we,
lost
Thursday
once
to Sunday? Right, so...
After Europe, we've lost once, sorry.
I think when you think about it from the mental point of view, I don't think it will affect them too much, because there's still such an amazing prize on offer in the Premier League. And
do you think they can separate the two?
I think they can. And I think they have probably already showed that they can separate the two this season. I've not really seen too many hangovers from Europe into a weekend. So I think they've proven that they can separate the two. I know it's at the business end of the competition now and it's a semi-final. It's not gone to plan. I understand all of that. But for me, I think there's such an amazing prize on offer in the Premier League at the moment that they have to separate the two. And it's in Aston Villa's hands to go and grab this fourth position. And the players are under no illusions how important that is for the club and how probably they deserve to get it this season. They deserve to be there. So it's going to be a difficult game down at Brighton. You know, we're not going to see the majority of possession, that's for sure. So it'll be about how we transition. And in some ways, you know, it could be a blueprint for the game next Thursday. You know, if Olympiacos decide to play a little bit and keep the ball and try and frustrate us, it might be one of those occasions where actually Sunday might be a bit of a, okay, this might be where we have to suffer again on Thursday, where we don't have lots of time with the ball. So for me, I think it's such an important game that they have to put it to one side, what happened on Thursday.
And I have shown this season as well that usually when we've had a defeat, there's been a reaction the game after and we've either gone on to draw and win. But by and large, that's one thing under Emery we've been really, really good at, particularly from 2023, well, probably February, March 2023 onwards. If we have a setback, there's usually a reaction. We make sure we don't get stuck in that rut of, oh, no, we've lost 2-3 in a row here. Villa have been very good at that this season and something that hasn't really been spoken about a lot.
Yeah, and I think I think it's not so much the mental side of it. It's more the physical side of it that they will have to be careful of. We've spoken so many times already this season around the injury situation and how difficult it is. And you only had to look at the bench last night to know that we're down to the bare bones. And there isn't actually too much that Unai Emery can do to change things up at the moment. Obviously, it's a recovery day today. They'll have a session tomorrow, probably travel down tomorrow night. And then it's the game on Sunday. So there really isn't much time to get players back. Saniolo obviously came off the bench last night. As kind of we predicted, really, it was a see how you can get on in the final few minutes job for Zaniolo yesterday, having not really had any minutes with the group on the training pitch. So I can't imagine that he'll be in any state to start. He'll probably have a heavier schedule today than the players obviously that started last night and then Saturday as well. But I can't imagine he'll be fit enough to start on Sunday. And then you're counting on whether Moreno is any closer to perhaps being on the bench, but is he someone that can really be a game changer? It's not the kind of thing that you think about usually when you look at a bench and see game changers. It's not usually the left back that you pick out. So is that the type of player that Villa need off the bench at the moment? And, you know, Yuri Tielemans won't be fit, and then it's going to be touch and go on Emi Martinez. He'll be doing everything he can to get fit for next Thursday. And the question then for the manager is, if it is touch and go and if it is a risk to play Martinez on Sunday, particularly with a hamstring issue, then how much of a gamble is that with Thursday on the horizon? And would you rather, if it is touch and go, play Olsen on Sunday and save Martinez and save any kind of gamble for Thursday night?
Yeah, we need Martinez, don't we? Could argue this guy. I mean, I think we're nearly there with Champions League. I genuinely do. I think that result last night, I think those two wins that we got, Arsenal and Bournemouth in a row, absolutely critical to our season. I think when we look back, they'll be the two that we think, glad we managed to do that, because it could have been a lot tighter. Because you do feel like we're kind of limping a little bit to the finish line this season. But fortunately for us, Spurs, I don't know what they're doing, but they're certainly not limping. I think whatever worse than limping is, Spurs are doing that. And they've got another tough game on Sunday. By some, just any way possible, we could beat Brighton on Sunday and then Liverpool do us a favour. It's done, isn't it? So, you know, like you say, that the incentive is there. It's absolutely huge this on Sunday. And trying to put my positive hat on, we beat Brighton the last five times in a row. So we are their bogey team. You know, we talk so often about Villa's bogey teams. We are Brighton's bogey team.
Yeah. I mean, over the last 10 years, the average, I think, to finish in the top four is 71 points, and Villa are four off that. But as you say, I think a win on Sunday, I think we'll probably see us there anyway with Tottenham's fixtures to come.
I'd actually think there's a world where we get 0 points for the rest of the season and would still get fourth. I wouldn't want to be there. But I think that's entirely possible, honestly.
let's hope it doesn't drag out for that long, for sure. And from Brighton's point of view, you know, they've had a difficult second half of the season anyway, particularly since they got knocked out of Europe. They're struggling for goals. I think the only goal they've scored in the last four or five was the one that Muric at Burnley basically gave them.
Goal of the month, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they're struggling a little bit at the moment for various different reasons. Roberto De Zerbi hasn't exactly pledged his future to the club, which I think is not an ideal situation for them. And I think that has probably had an effect on performances. He's openly said that he's struggling to get his side motivated because they're out of Europe and now it's a difficult chance for them to even qualify for Europe next year. I'm not sure of the permutations of whether they can even
12th,
reach.
Aren't they at the moment, Brighton, I believe.
Whether they can even reach European football next season. So, yeah, difficult. It's been a difficult second half of the season for them. They've had so many injuries as well. I think he made 7 changes to Zerbi for the defeat at Bournemouth, including 2 Premier League debuts, one for Ofire at right back, and then Omani in a forward position. But they're struggling as much as Villa are in terms of injuries this season. So I don't think De Zerbi has probably been able to pick his full strength side, particularly out wide as well, when you think about Matoma and Solly March being out. And then Estupiñán's been out for such a long time. I think Veltman has missed part of this season as well, although he was on the bench and came on against Bournemouth. So, yeah, they've had a difficult time. We know exactly the way they're going to play. They're going to keep the ball. They're going to try and progress through the lines from the back into the two defensive midfielders, Gilmore and Gross probably, and then try and hit the striker or the wide players who will aim to stretch the pitch. So you kind of know how Brighton are going to play. I think their lack of senior first team players means that they're a little bit inhibited probably in how they can mix it up the way they play. You know, if Estupiñán's there, then they can, you know, he can invert and play midfield and do different things. But I think their lack of senior players being fit means that they're kind of a little bit hamstrung in the way they play. And it'll probably be just a little bit, I'm going to say one-dimensional sounds disrespectful because they can still hurt you drastically in that way. But Barco at left back is still feeling his way into the league. And it's whether he decides or who he decides to pick at the back. Lewis Dunk is their mainstay. A lot of the ball goes through him. Igor Julio started against Bournemouth, but they were poor defensively against Bournemouth. Webster came off the bench. Will he decide to play Webster alongside Dunk? So selection issues and difficulties for Brighton this season, and could well be a good time for Villa to be playing them. I know they've been very good at home. It's more their away form that's been poor, but it could be a good time for Villa to go there and after the game on Thursday in particular and try and get 3 points.
The thing that bothers me really is that, you know, we can't really change it up. We've spoken about the bench already. Really anything we can do. It's probably going to be that 11 again. I can't imagine if the only thing you could possibly do is John Duran up front with Watkins, which we've seen once this season.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
And I think it was West Ham away. We did that. Zaniolo is not going to be fit enough to start. He could change the back four, like we spoke about in the preview the other day, and bring Carlos in. Torres will play. You know, him and Bailey are both nursing injuries at the moment. And, you know, Villa obviously felt last night that it wasn't worth adding to his load and playing him. But then you've put in Longley, who hasn't played for weeks, which I think has added to some of the problems at the back. And I'm not blaming Longley because I think he's actually been decent for us, but he hasn't played for weeks. And it's always hard to then come in against an energetic team and show your best. But we can't really change anything at the moment. And you talk about Brighton and how they do things. You know, really, De Zerbi makes loads of changes. If everyone's fit, doesn't he? It's just what he does.
Yeah, I think they might have made one of the most, if not the most, changes to their starting 11 this season. They've obviously had to balance Europe as well, but he's certainly made a lot more changes than Villa have to their starting 11. And in particular in goal as well.
He loves a goal rotated.
Yeah, rotated the keepers all season with Verbruggen and Jason Steele. So, yeah, I think from Villa's point of view, I think there probably will be a change at the back. I suspect that Consa will move to right back and Carlos will come in and Pau Torres will come in and then Dinia.
We never agree, do we?
What do you think the back four will be? It's the only thing we can argue about, the back four.
No. It's just, I think it's Carlos got man of the match against Arsenal and he's not started since. Just think at the moment he's going with that. That's his back four. I just feel that's his back four at the moment. If you know playing a certain opposition, I feel like he might play Konsa at right back. But we seem to have moved away from building up with a back three now.
Yeah, I mean we didn't do a fat lot of it last night. I must admit. Mm. You know, Cash was fairly advanced and it was at times.
I thought he was our best player, Cash. I've got to be honest.
Yeah, I thought he had a good game, and it was Douglas Luiz who had almost the responsibility at times to drop in and make that three. In build-up in the second half in particular. So, yeah, I just think maybe he'll be thinking about Thursday with his Sunday selection in the back four. And I feel like Konsa might play it right back on Thursday. So he might, that would be my thought process in terms of going with that on Sunday and giving them almost that game to get back in that zone again. I've even got a hunch around Thursday that he might play Longley and Torres out in Greece. That could be my spicy take. I don't know. That could be my spicy take.
That's wild. I'm sure. I'd love to know what that's based on.
But my thought process would be around if he's going to set up with Konsa at right back on Thursday, he might go with that on Sunday. I'm basing that on absolutely nothing.
No, I disagree with you, I think. But we'll see. I mean, the team selection will come out. I mean, I guess the good news is that when we've played next Thursday, at least we've got an extra day before the Liverpool game. Because the scheduling, it's getting tough for us now. We don't have the options. We can't manage people's minutes at all. I don't know. I wonder whether Rodgers was taken off in a way last night to manage his minutes sorted because he's having to play a hell of a lot of football for someone who's got no Premier League experience. I do wonder whether that played into the factor of him coming off last night. But we are down to the bare bones at the moment. There's very little we can do. So we'll see what happens. I've got high hopes, though. Going into the
game. As always, Dan.
We are their bogey team. So the only thing that concerns me is when a team hasn't scored for ages, you do slip back into your old Villa mentality of thinking, oh, they're probably going to score against us, aren't they? But then, I can't at the moment. We don't look like giving a clean sheet, so probably anyone would score against us. I don't know. But I still fancy us to go there and take something. It could be a case of limping and maybe a couple of draws is enough at the end of the season. But yeah, my advice would be don't be too down about Thursday. It is only half time. Yes, we could get knocked out, but I do think just as easily they've shown that they can be got at in other games in the Conference League as well. I do think we could go there and get at them if the game plan's right. So yeah, don't lose hope with Emery and don't lose hope with the players either, because they've given us a really, really special season, an unbelievable season. Regardless, it is what it is now. You know, everyone knows I've said it, people don't like it. For me, the priority has always been top four. I had a bit of a disagreement with someone at the Barbers earlier about that, but it's just how I feel. I'm not saying I'm right. It's just my opinion. But yeah,
and I have the opposite opinion.
I know you do. But obviously, you saying the other day you were. Oh no, it wasn't you. It was someone else. It was Sam Tai was saying to me that he now agrees with me about top four. He's changed. He's switched. But yeah, let's see what happens on Sunday. It's right. Some confusion, Dave. As to whether it's on Sky or not. Is it on Sky on Sunday?
On Sunday, it is. Yeah, it wasn't originally. No, it wasn't. It was a late pick this week. It was only announced this week. So, yeah, it's on Sky. So you can watch it there.
Some people agreeing with me in the with the top four. Follow me blindly. Come on, let's follow me blindly into my feelings. Right, let's go, Dave. Thank you ever so much for joining me. Thanks to Adam for producing as well. Feels like we've had an error-free show, which is absolutely unheard of at the moment. Maybe that's a good omen going into Sunday. I don't really have anything else to say, really, other than, you know, enjoy your weekend until it goes to Sunday. Get yourself some Luke clothes. If you fancy it, you'll get 20% off with the code TVV20, and you'll give us a little kickback if you use our code. Other codes are available, but don't use them. Illegitimate codes, in my opinion. So, yeah, off we go. If you want to listen to us via audio, that should be up soon as well. Although I don't know why I'm saying that, because you've already watched now if you got this far. So why would you go back and listen?
Might want to listen again in the car.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we've come up with countless talking points. I would say high-value show from us as always, Dave. But yeah, have a good weekend up until Sunday, and as always, up the Villa.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.